Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had an amazing week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are currently in our We Are the Church series. So the whole series that we're talking about here is how we are the church. Yes, we have the church building, and yes, we have the organization, but the simple truth is that as Christians, those who say that they are followers of Christ, you are the church. When you are at home, you are the church. When you are at work, you are the church. When you go out to buy groceries or Starbucks, you are the church. And this week, we'll be talking about how we as the church, we are to love others. One thing that is amazing about Buckeye is we've become known as a church who loves everyone. All are invited here. All can worship and grow closer to God. We have had so many people come into our church services, and they always say that everyone here is so loving, so welcoming, and that they actually feel welcome right here. We've had speakers come from different places, and they said, I went to 10 churches, and this church, I really felt welcome. I really felt loved. I didn't even have to do anything. It was just instantly, I could feel the difference. And that is such an amazing thing to have here. And at Buckeye, we've made it a point to say that if you are struggling, that's okay. We're all struggling. We're all broken. No matter what you've done, no matter how you are struggling, this place is for you because it's for those that are broken. The whole point is that we need a Savior. We're all sinners. We're all lost. So let's do this together. Let's grow together. And this has always been my mentality in ministry. So one of my favorite stories that I love to tell, and if you've already heard it, I'm going to tell it again, and that's okay. But at the church in Indiana, where I was the lead minister there, I became really good friends with a guy who was running the jail in town. He was a jailer, but he was also working at the local sheriff department. He was coming to our church on a regular basis, and he would have a lot of talks with me about his frustrations and the problems with the inmates and dealing with all the problems in society. When you get to see the darkest of dark things, his question was, how do I follow God and do my job that I do? What does that look like? And so we were talking over and over again about, well, you got to love people. And he's like, it's hard to do because these people don't love me. They hate me. And I'm like, I understand that. So then we had a couple that came regularly. They brought a friend of theirs to the church who had recently got out of jail. And I had met with this man and talked with this guy before about his struggles and everything that he's going through. And it was awesome that he stepped into the church. He got out of jail on a Friday and he was sitting in the seats there on a Sunday. And I was like, this is great. This is what we need. This is exactly where he needs to be. And then I had a moment where I went, uh-oh, the jailer goes here. I bet he knows this guy. I hope this goes well. Because I have no clue what's going to happen. And so the jailer, he walks in through the door for that day. And I'm just sitting back and I'm like, oh no. And there's the ex-inmate. And the jailer, he walks right over to the ex-inmate. And of course, I'm sitting in the corner like, uh-oh, I don't know who to call. He's the cops. Like, if something happens, I'm going to call him. I don't know. And so the jailer then puts out his hand to the inmate that's sitting down. And he shook his hand, and he said something I never thought I would hear. He said, I'm so glad to see you in here when you're on the outside. He said, this is the decisions that we need to be making. You came to church. You weren't afraid to say, you know what, I am broken. I have a past. I've done things wrong. And then the jailer, he went and sat down in his seat. And then the prisoner and the jailer together were worshiping God. Come on, nothing can be as beautiful as that. Nothing else mattered. All that mattered was worshiping God. And that's what we need to be as a church. That is showing the love of Christ. And I know here at Buckeye, we welcome all through all walks of life. But here comes the reality. That inmate that person whom you see and you may say, they're not somebody I want to really associate with, would you still show them love, kindness, and give them the same time you would outside of this building? Because if we're being honest, the way that we act towards people in this building is not always reflected in how we treat people in our daily lives. So if we are truly being the church, how are we to love others? We're supposed to do it every single moment of every day. And this is why it's so important that we follow the Bible on what love is. What we see as love today, what they're telling you what love is not always what love actually is. We confuse the words loving someone as having full acceptance of what someone is doing, living, and saying. So I'm going to say something that some may not like. Full acceptance of what someone is doing, living, and saying is not love. It's just not. We know that God loves us. He tells us all the time. We read it in here over and over again. We've seen what he's done for us. But we definitely know that God does not accept and condone everything we do, live, and say. Actually, God loves us so much that he tells us and steers us in a direction of where we need to go, how we are to live, what we are to say. And we can read this over and over and over again about what true love looks like. But the best explanation, it comes from 1 Corinthians 13. So we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, and talk about what's being said here. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I gave all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." So this is known as the chapter on love. Shocking, right? It makes sense that that's what they call this. This is read at weddings. You'll hear it all the time, verses 4 through 8, where they're talking about what love is and how they're going to love one another. This is quoted by Christian men trying to pursue a girl. They're like, "Hey, girl, this is what love is," okay? That's kind of what happens. They can, like, point at it. They're like, "This is love, okay? This is what we know what it is." And it spells it out for us. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, always perseveres, and of course, it never fails. This is the most beautiful presentation of what love truly is. And what I love about these verses on love is if you put God in front of it, instead of the word love, it fits perfectly. God never fails. God always perseveres. God always trusts. God does not delight in evil. Like, you just keep going. You're like, okay, so God is love. And we're going to go over that a little later. But what I want to do is I want to take a look at the first part a little closer. Most of the time at a wedding, you're not reading verses 1 through 3. And that's because the second part shows us what it's supposed to be. But we get these examples of what love is and what it's supposed to look like. And what it says to us over and over again, I keep saying it over and over again, it's all about where is your heart? It has to be in your heart first when we love people. And that's what we're going to look at with these examples. So the first one talks about our words, about how we talk and we speak. And here it says, you can speak in every language, godly or earthly. You can speak all the languages. And to me personally, people that know a lot of languages, it is so impressive. Someone I met once said, I can speak 8 different languages fluently. And I was like, wow, I don't even speak one well. So that's amazing. It blows my mind. And then the thought of how many different languages are out there. And then it says that you can speak the languages of the angels. And I'm like, that's amazing. It says, but if what you're speaking is not in love, it says you're just a resounding gong or you're a clanging cymbal. And let me be clear, that's not a positive, okay? That's not a good thing. You may be thinking, but gongs can be cool. I like the sound of it. And cymbals are used and make great music. That's not what's being said here. The point is that they are just noise if they don't have a purpose, if they're not being done in a way that is pleasing to others. If you don't believe me, pull me aside, and I'm going to bring some young children over that I know. I'm going to hand them some gongs and cymbals, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be cute for about 3 seconds. They're going to go, oh, that's adorable. Okay, is that going to stop? Is that over? I want the noise just to end. And that's what we're reading here. When we talk, when we sing, when anything comes out of our mouths that's not in love, you're just making noise. And not a joyful noise. Because we hear that all the time. Well, I'm just making a joyful noise. No, when you are doing it with no love, it's not a joyful noise. So then it says, you can be the smartest person on earth. You can know how everything works. You can even have knowledge that is given to you by God through prophecy. You can have this amazing faith, faith that can literally move mountains. But if you do not have love in your heart, if you do not love others, all those amazing things that you can do, all that knowledge that you have, it says it is meaningless. It doesn't even have a purpose or a point. Because loving God and loving others is what truly matters. It's not about what you know. It's not about how smart you are. I hear people tell me all the time, I know all this book. I've gone through it like 100 different times. And I'm like, that's awesome. But you hate people. How does that go together? It's because it's just knowledge. God's saying in your heart, have that love. And the reason that this can become so confusing is because this is talking to Christians. You can have the gift of prophecy. This means that you can talk to God and He's going to reveal truth to you. He's going to show you what may come to be. That means you obviously know who God is and He is using you. But He says if you do all these things and you do not actually have love for God and others, it's all meaningless. You're missing the very simple truth that we are to love. And then you have the last one. You can give all you have to the poor. You can break your body down. You can work hard to build those homes for the homeless. You can go and help the hurricane victims. You can serve the homeless in many different ways. You can help out all the people on earth who are in need. But if you do not have love for these people, if you do not love the ones that you're helping, it says that you will gain nothing. Again, this can be so confusing because helping others is good. We are told to help others all the time. We are told to show our love through action, and that is not wrong. But where is your heart? Do you truly love these broken people? People who have destroyed the only home they've had because they gave into their addictions. People who are living on the streets and they've chosen that lifestyle because they love living in their sin. Do you love them? Or are you serving them because it makes you feel good? Are you serving people because it looks good on the outside? Are you serving people just because, well, God said I should do it, so I'm doing it? Your motivation, first and foremost, needs to be because we love these people. We will get more into the serving side of things next week. All next week is all about we are the church and how we are to serve. But when you look at these verses, we can see how important it is to love people, not to love their sin, not to enable them to keep on sinning, but to love them in spite of their sin. So what does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, so we're going to turn to 1 John. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. A lot of John's writings are about love, and some of them will smack you in the face. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So when we look at these verses, it seems really simple. Well, you need to love others. But it's also so blunt. And personally, verses like this, they're not my favorite because they kind of hurt. They make you check yourself. Check your own heart. Check what you're doing. So it starts off so simple and nice. He says, "Dear friends." And I read that, I'm like, oh, we're friends. That's cool. That's great. We're friends. This is like a friendly meeting, and we're gonna love one another, and that's awesome. And he says, "Let us love one another like never before." And I'm like, I agree. We need to love one another through it all. And he says, why? Because love comes from God. And when you love as God loves, then we are showing what true love is. When we live like people who love God, we will show others who God is. And I'm like, that's awesome. And we can throw away our thoughts and our judgments on others, and we can just truly love them. And when we do that, they're going to see him. They're going to see God because he is love. But then verse 8 hits. And he says, if you do not love, you do not know God, because God is love. Wow, what happened to those friend talk? I thought we were friends. That seems kind of mean. Well, in all honesty, this is him being our friend. He's telling us the truth. He's speaking to us in love. We are being called out for what we are doing wrong. And the truth is, we are not loving others as God loves us. And that is what a friend does. That's what somebody that actually loves someone else will say. This is not good for you. This is not working. This will be better. God knows the best way. It's not about what you want to do. We have to call each other out and say, yeah, in love, I'm going to tell you, if you're not loving others, how can you love God? And then he goes further and he says, this is how God showed us his love. He sent his one and only Son into this world to teach us, to show us, to love us, and to be the sacrifice for us. It was to save us from us. We're horrible people. That's just the way it goes. We have sinned against God time and time again. And he still sent his Son. It's not because we love God that he did this for us. That's what verse 10 is saying it plainly. It's not that you deserve it, but he loved us first. We did nothing amazing to deserve to be saved. So I'm going to go over a whole bunch of things real quick, and I want to let you know I'm using the word we because I'm in this as well. We have actually done the opposite of deserving his love and grace. We have been horrible to God. We have ignored what he has asked for us and from us. We have done things that have hurt him. We have done things that have hurt others. We have done things to hurt ourselves. We've walked away from him time and time again. We have spat in his face. We have tried taking control of our lives. And we say, no, God, I've got this. I don't need you right now. I'm handling this myself. And what happens is God still says, I love you. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I love you. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn away from this life of destruction and death. And follow me. And then he said, here is my Son. He's come here to pay the price for your sins. Now follow me. And that's where verse 11 hits us hard because he says, dear friends, I guess we're still friends, so that's great. He says, since God loves you, gave everything for you, you need to love one another, to truly love them. Again, this is showing them God. This is not full acceptance, but telling them the truth about who God is, what he wants for us and from us, helping people through no matter what they have done or they are doing, to share the truth with them, to show them that you care about them by helping taking care of them. As a minister, I have heard and seen so much pain in people's lives. I have people who completely despise me. I have people who hate what I preach and what I stand for. And as much as I become upset and angry with these people that attack me, I'm going to tell you, I still truly love them. I want to help them see the truth. I want to help them get out of their life of sin and destruction. Why? Because God has loved me through so much. I pray that I can show God's love to all, no matter what they have done, because God has loved me through everything that I've done. And then we jump down to verse 20. And this is the one that hit me many years ago. This is the one that has helped me pray for a softer heart towards people, because I can tell you right now, and my wife will tell you, that I'm not always the softest man when it comes to somebody coming at me. Says, whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, just flat out says, you're a liar. I just sit back and go, wow, what happened to all the friends talk again? What's happening here? Those are super strong words. You just called me a liar. But again, this is being told to us in love. to say we have to change our hearts. We have to stop lying to ourselves and saying things like, well, I hate this person. They're the worst, but I love you, God. We can no longer say, well, I can't stand this person. I don't want them near me. I don't want to talk to them. But God, please draw me closer to you. We cannot say things like, you know what? For what you've done to me, I will never forgive this person. And then turn around and say, but God, please forgive me. You cannot have anger and hate in your heart for people and then turn around and say, but God, I love you. But God, take care of me. But God, forgive me. We are the church. We are his followers. And as we are being the church in our daily lives, we have to love people as God loves you. Not just when they walk into this building. It has to be in the everyday, in the mundane, in the hardships, in the political fights, on social media, waiting in line, driving. I know that's a big one. We have to truly love people as God loves you. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. You are the church. Every moment of every day, these next couple of months, you're probably going to have to deal with people and family that drive you insane. It just goes hand in hand, okay? So Thanksgiving's coming, Christmas is coming, people that you haven't seen for a while, you're gonna be around them and you're gonna go, I can't stand that person. But I want you to love them as God loves you. Show patience, show kindness. Share who God is lovingly. You may have to correct somebody, but do it with love in your heart for them, saying, I want the best for you, and I'm here to help you. If you truly want to help someone, throw your anger aside and love them as God has loved you. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you. I know sometimes these sermons are hard to hear. Going through your word can be hard to hear. But what's happening is you're giving us this in love. It's because you care about us. You want us to follow you. You want us to be with you. And the best way to know you is by loving others as well. You are the good, good Father. And I pray that as we go throughout this week, this month, this next couple months, that we can have that patience, that kindness, and that love for people, no matter what they're doing. We love you, and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.